Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yapa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff. And yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Dealing with the effects of our historical inheritance. Racism. The institution exists in every industry. Structural inequality. Joblessness. Poverty. Fragility of the black family. Disinvestment in public education. The effects.
We the ones that rise like the sun. Exemplify, fly, sound like none.
Hey, we come to elevate it. We come to elevate it. We come to elevate it. You leave them devastated.
Huh. It's the fact on both sides. I'm blacker than yak and Maybachs and brown sugar Similac, bro.
Sip to celebrate it. I'm sip to celebrate it. The pressure never dated.
Yo, Chuck. Huh. You share a leader's lessons, that be your sinner's blessings. Before the woo was you that told us to protect our essence. We're flavor bombing sessions, a bridge for adolescence. Unwrap the gift together, prove the present was our presence. Beware the boys not, let me make it clear. Boycott, boy shot, like the buff stops there. And the fact you old dope, reparations, manana. And middle finger to Trump, from Putin and Melania.
Here it comes, original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums. Original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums.
Huh. See the rest cannot be contested. The post like you post. Leave no vote suppressed.
Mm-mm. I told them not to trust it.
Nah.
Told them not to trust it.
Can't.
Told them not to trust it. How can they not discuss it?
It's a beast that won't bequeath peace. Middle finger to Trump from the COVID deceased.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Nah.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Nah.
I can't trust shit.
Yo, Chuck. Get the Visine. Hit him with the high beam. Wake up to a nightmare. Make you wonder why I dream. Marks that parole. Their goal for black men. Take the gun. Take the vote. Out of every black hand. As a world, we move together. If I build, you climb. Every parent casts a vote that keeps your children in mind. In a line with divine. No crime not feeling us. We'll deal with attitude. Just stop killing
Here
us.
Here it comes. Original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums. Original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums. I hate hate, it's a terrible taste of fate. Waste energy, blame it on every face. But they don't see a mirror. Get advice to hear you, you're genius, Dres. You got them getting nearer, they gotta dig you by now. You be showing them how to go better, get better, be better. proud to get together. I'm outdressed. Peace, my brother. Here it comes. Original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums. Original digital native tongues. The sound of the barrio in the slums. To bring it together for iller sums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums. We're gripping the hits like Dilla drums.
Chuck D.
Yeah, what it do, y'all? This your boy King Ed the Great, and you're not tuning in to episode 369 of Off the Cuff Radio, coming at y'all live and direct. That song we just played was Dilla Drums, courtesy of Drez from Rack Sheet and Chuck D, fire song, and it speaks on the appropriate situation that's going on in today's world, and we're going to have him on the line shortly, so we got my T-Match with the Facts, my co-host, and we may be joined by a special guest tonight. We may be joined by Pittsburgh Pat, so be sure we're going to try to make some room for him on the seating table. And we got a live one tonight, man. T-Match, what's good?
What's going on, man? Monday, fun day. We beginning another week, you know, Off the Cuff Radio, up to the building, man. And like you said, man, you know, of course, shout out to our co-host and Stripper, all the Sandman H and Chill, and of course our brother Pittsburgh Pat, and of course our guest of the night when we get him in the queue, the living legend, Witty Wordsmith, native tongue member, and distinguished legend, Drezza Black Sheep. Yes, yes, we about to do it.
Yes, sir. We got Pat on the line right now. He's showing us some love. What's good, my man?
What's going on, Pat?
Yo, what's going on?
How you, man? How you?
Man, I'm all right, man. Going through some things, you know what I mean? My mom just passed away last week.
Our condolences, our condolences.
Yeah, appreciate that. So, you know, I'm just, you know, it's a rough loss, man. She's only 59, you know what I mean? I was real close with my mom. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay busy. And,
understood.
Trying to live normal, you know what I mean? And I figure I ain't chopped it up with y'all in a while. And, you know, I got to work out the old radio muscles every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? So the last time
appreciate
I was on
it,
with you guys was the last time I was on the air for anybody. So, you know, I don't rock with nobody but you guys nowadays. You know what I mean? So like, I won't even... You know, I don't get nobody else no guests. I don't co-host or guest host for anybody else. You know what I mean? If I'm going to do that, I do it with you guys. This is, you know, this is my home now. You know what I mean? It might not be on every time with you guys, but I only rock with you guys. So anything...
Well, you know, you always got a home here, man. You've always got a home.
Anything that ever comes my way, I always offer it to Eric first. And... if Eric can't do it, then it's just not getting done. I don't rock with nobody else.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys a lot, and I consider you guys family. You know what I mean? So
who all we got on the line, by the way?
We
got Drez from Black Sheep in the building, man. Still putting this down
right
30-some years almost. Bring them on, man. What's good, brother?
Y'all killing me. I ain't been doing it that long, but I appreciate the love though. Everything's good, family. Word
up.
Everything, you know what I'm saying? Just maintaining, pushing the forward.
Definitely, man. Drez.
Just real quick,
you know,
I don't
want to
step on.
Yeah.
And definitely, I want to give condolences to fam losing his moms, man. My sincerest condolences, family. I hope you hold your head.
Man, I appreciate that, man, and thank you very much.
Very sorry for your loss.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes in this interview or nothing, but Drez, I'm the East Coast guy of the group here, and just wanted to salute you real quick, man. I've been a fan a long time, and
love is love.
You know, I've interviewed a lot of legends when I was doing radio all the time, and you were always on my list. Just the show I was on just kind of fell off, so I don't do it full-time anymore. But it really is, I mean this, it's a real honor to talk to you, man, for real.
That's peace, fam. Word up. Love is love.
And you still got it, by the way, man. Like, you still got
peace,
it. I'd be following you, man. I'd be catching your freestyles and your appearances and stuff. And, you know, I got a few questions for you later on in this interview. But, anybody of the listeners, anybody listening right now, just know this man still got it. The rap is out of control, that freestyle you did. And that freestyle you did with Premier, like, he had that little thing, like the bars in the booth or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, you killed both of those freestyles, bro. Like,
I appreciate that,
listen to them like they're songs. I have them downloaded. I put them on playlists. Cool. Like, they're songs. Like, they're that good and that smooth, man. Like, your style is just cool as hell, man. Like, your flow is just, man, it's, like, comforting to hear. You know what I mean? Like, your shit is so smooth, man. All these years later, you still got it, man. For real. Salute.
I appreciate that. For real, man. And definitely looking forward to, you know, releasing this upcoming project. This D&D project is a real heavyweight in as far as my career goes. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely, I appreciate the sentiment. For real.
Definitely tell us about it, man. For those who are, for your current base, have been following you through all these years for your solo projects and going back, keep us in tune with what you got going on for 2021.
I was really blessed, man, the year before last that I met Dilla's mom. I was at a show, I think I was in Chicago or somewhere. And I didn't have that relationship with Dilla, though he was real cool with most of the natives. Me and him, like, we kind of just met in passing, and I think it was at a time when, like, Black Sheep was kind of, like, separating and stepping away from the label. I wound up moving down south a little bit, and that was kind of when he was really around cats real heavy initially. Just to say, I didn't have that relationship, so to meet his mom, you know, it was just out of respect. Like, I was like, yeah, sure, bring it backstage. You know, I meet his mom, and she was with her husband, this guy named Tony, real good dude. And, you know, it was an honor to meet him. And maybe about a month or two later, I was doing a show in Puerto Rico. And, I looked to the side of the stage, and who's standing there but Ma Dukes and her husband, Tony. So after the set, I go straight to them, and I'm talking to them, and turns out they got a crib in Puerto Rico. They invite me back to the crib. Ma's gonna cook, whatever. I'm like, yo, that's what's up. So I hang out with them for the evening. Ma's cooking. I'm in the kitchen. She's telling me literally about her son. And, you know, we just chopping up and kicking it with Tony. We smoking a little something and just really getting to know each other on a really cool level. At the end of the night, they were letting me know that, they had just gotten back a lot of the rights of Dilla under the estate umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were looking for different things to do with his catalog. And so they asked me would I be interested in putting a project together from the catalog that they now had control of. That I was like, man, like, I was blown away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, you know, like, in my mind, I'm like, they could have asked anybody in the world this. And, yeah, I would love to, you know what I'm saying? But it also begun me on a like, almost like a journey that, you know, like, I took it real seriously. And when I got home, I started going through every interview, everything I could find, every book to YouTube video to, I mean, everything, you know what I'm saying? Every track I could find to listen to, like, you know, like I had an understanding of Dilla and a good one coming from where I'm coming from, but I took it like 10 times beyond that. And before I even started recording. And so then I had to meet I had to meet Tony down in D.C., go to a studio, and I just started picking beats and created a folder for myself from the snippets, literally snippets of his production. Like, that's kind of how he produced. It was kind of ill how he even put stuff together, that he didn't even make these elaborate arrangements or nothing. He would just basically put the elements of a song, you know, to a track, you know, create, you know, CD, each entry was basically about 30, 45 seconds. And it would have the elements of that song, and then he'd go on to the next joint. And I guess when he would go to create it, he could just kind of arrange how he felt, or if he had a disc or whatever he was doing. But from what I was working from, I just had 45 seconds, 30-second snippets. And I created this project that, you know, using these snippets, you know, like literally, and even doing different things with them that, you know, like kind of taking a few liberties here and there. But I created this project all last year that now is like this is it, really this really special piece of work that I got features from Bun B to Freeway to Chuck D to CeeLo Green to Jay Sands to Delta Funky Homo Sapien. Got my man Corey Guns to Source Money to Chi Ali to Mike Son to Jaleel Shaw. Like this is my word, like I got this crazy project that's coming and like cats are gonna hear me in a way they've probably never heard me, but they also gonna hear some of Dilla's stuff in a way they've never heard. And I really wanted to include his estate and Marduk's, off of the opportunity that they gave me. So I formed it as a group, and the group is called D&D. D&D is Dilla and Drez. And so this is like probably the first of maybe a few projects that I'd like to do, just drawn from this catalog. And and the name of the project is called No Words. And I intend to release it this summer with a documentary about the making of it. And it's really a special joint. Like the Dilla drums, which you played, before we got on, it was an actual like a leak, and I wanted to leak something. Like when I finished mixing it, I wanted to leak that record because I felt like it was right before the election, and I just wanted to use it as a marketing tool to let people know this project is coming, but also to let them know that the music is supposed to speak to the times and that this is a real important time in the world, and it's important that we vote. It's important that we stick to code and that we move together. Our unity is our strength. And I wanted to leak a record. So I reached out to MJ, who's really dope. And I let her know, would you please help me send this out to everyone? Like, it's a true leak. You can't buy it. It's not available for sale. It's not even mastered. You have to be gifted it. And it's just taken its life of its own to not only let people know that this project is coming, but it also establishes a bar that I think that a lot of our music needs to step up to, as opposed to, us settling. it's almost like our music is a reflection of what we're willing to settle for, and we see what we was willing to settle for in our leadership that, like in Trump and all the things that we just went through. That's a reflection of our music to me. We need to start, holding ourselves accountable. Not even so much other people, but ourselves, to who we are and who we protest to be and who we would like to be. And more than anything, we need to start moving together, and just start reimagining what it's supposed to be and step to that, man. No more settling. No more just going with the flow,
That's why Dilla's mom, I think that's one of the reasons why Dilla's mom came to you, is what you just said about settling for whatever. If you have the opportunity to do like a real album over J Dilla, like it's an official J Dilla project, if you're going to do that, you can't just hear some beats and rap over them. I heard about the project probably a month or two ago. And that's what my question was going to be, was how did you approach it? Well, you already answered it. You studied them pretty much. You know what I mean? And you know what you're doing, man. You know you can't. If you're going to accept that project, you know it can't be bullshit. what I mean? You got to come nice. So you take it that serious, man. And I think that's why they picked you to do it anyway, because, they know you're going to be nice as hell, and they know that you're not just going to be like, oh, I like this beat, let me just rap over it. Like, no, you know what J Dilla means, so you can't be whack on a Dilla project. But, they came to you because they probably wanted it to sound like you and him sat in the studio together and made it. And I think most anybody that knows you knows that that's what it's going to sound like.
That's safe.
That just goes to show you what kind of an MC you are, that they would trust you, because they could have got anybody to do that. Who wanted to do that?
No, that's real, man. And I took it really just like that. Yeah, I took it like that too. I took it real seriously, like that they did trust me to do something with their son's legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like that means something. You know what I'm saying? Word up.
Yeah,
so you know, like,
still go on there and just spit some nice shit. Like, you gotta. This album's gonna have some substance. You know what I mean? Like.
Nah.
And not like this album, really, just anybody that's on a Dilla project, it needs to have substance. It can't just have nice bars. It has to mean something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially if they're going to release it as like an official Dilla project. So like, the fact that it's no coincidence that they asked you to do it, because they probably knew how serious you would take it. You know?
I appreciate that.
Now, I don't
think
anybody heard that you're doing an album with Dilla and they're disappointed. You know?
All right. That's peace.
I think people know
and that's my word.
And not to mention you added Chuck D into the mix, and Chuck, that was like the perfect piece of the puzzle right there.
Yeah, like that Dilla drums, like I feel good about that. But one thing about this project, like, there's no song on this project that falls beneath that bar right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I say that very, very, like, very securely. Like this is like this project makes me feel like when we finish the Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. I even the remix of A Choice Is Yours, like, I knew we did something. It was like, I didn't know what we did, but I knew we did something. And that's the feeling that I have with this project. Like, it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I did something. And so, you know, like, I'm just interested to see how it plays out.
One thing about Adrez is one thing that's always been a hallmark of your style has always been the in, you know, just the distinguished gentleman swag of Illphonics, you know, sets around. You always had a very debonair, dope style in reference to your delivery. When we look back, you know, going over 30 years, you know, and of course, you know, the debut, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, which just came out of nowhere and literally just turned rap on its head. I mean, as we really... You know, of course, you know, you start off the first video, Flavor for the Month, you know, Strobe Like Honey, The Choice Is Yours, I mean, and then, of course, what you and Mr. Long did was just unbelievable. But also, listening to, you know, the Dilla Drums track, you also still are, you're still keeping that aesthetic of what it was, because you all came out in 1990, and this was a situation where, 89-90, so... We're still coming off of that era in terms of that, you know, the Pan-African, you know, black movement. You know, of course, the X-Clan, Public Enemy, you know, Queen Latifah, you know, because she came along during, you know, that she made her debut around that time. So we're seeing, you know, all of this new wave of, you know, conscious hip-hop really coming into it. And it's great to hear, you know, you're still embodying and expressing it, you know, in that political fashion, as you said, you know, still keeping that standard for what hip-hop is and how we aspire for it to be a true expression. You know, from your years in the game, from where you started and where you see it now, being not only a veteran from a legend, what phases and changes have you seen hip-hop take from the music to the business and how it's marketed and promoted?
That's a good question. Like, essentially, I've seen some really strong elements be established as far as the business aesthetics. You know what I'm saying? Like, I salute the youngsters of today, and not even to say youngsters, but just the younger generation, to say that, you know, like, they honed in on the business aspect of it in a way that I don't think had the opportunity to. I think, you know, our business aesthetic was us, I think, trying to monetize what we were doing.
Right.
There was no price tag on it prior. So we really, you know, saying almost were grateful for anything offered. You know what I'm saying? And it started establishing that, you know, okay, we're starting to get an idea of worth. And so, you know, like we have begun charging different things and begun incorporating different things and monetizing. But today, you know, like the envelope has been so far pushed forward that, you know, like cats really are branding and they're young with LLCs and understanding the components of it and how to maximize what it is and how to, you know, offset what, you know, any loss and, you know, like the business aesthetic is to be saluted. But at the same time, I think where we lacked today, they lack artistically. And
right.
That's to say that it became, you know, something, it became content as opposed to something that was from the soul or something that was from the heart or something that was from my mind. It became content. And how do we monetize this content? And so, you know, so I think we're at a place right now where if we can just kind of even it out a little bit, and to be honest with you, that's really the problem with our music is the lack of variety and the lack of evenness. You know, that's the problem. But to say, like, you know, but if we can raise the consciousness and the vibrations of our music right now, it can be a microcosm of who we're supposed to be. Like, that's who I've always looked at the native tongue as. And to a degree, I've, you know, it's disappointed me that we didn't push forward as the native tongues, and that, you know, like the native tongues isn't a company. You can't write a check to the native tongues. That's disappointing.
Right.
You can't, you know what I'm saying? Like we don't have our own distribution company. We don't have our own merchandising company. We, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't do our own booking. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were supposed to do all of that to show everyone that we can do that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so we didn't do that. It got to a place where us as individuals were able to stand on our own as individuals. So the need for us to be together got lost. And that was a big mistake. You know what I'm saying? So even to this day, huh? I was going to say,
in building off of that, now, do you think with a lot of times, you know, in the late 90s, that's when you start seeing that big boom within hip-hop. Like, cats was getting big money. I mean, million-dollar videos, and everybody, it was to the point where you could sneeze and go platinum. You know what I mean? That's how crazy the game was.
Yeah,
but
that's real
you
talk.
Think somewhere along the line, people focus more on being accepted instead of focusing on ownership?
Oh, without question. I mean, well, I think, you know, you've seen a lot more ownership these days, but at that time, you know, like, that was, that you hit it around, it was like a boom, you know what I'm saying, in the music. And, you know, that was the beginning of the monetization being worth millions, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, as a result of those times, we now have more black millionaires or just hip-hop millionaires in our culture than ever before, you know, bouncing off the back of that, you know what I'm saying? But prior to that, we really didn't have an understanding of what it was worth, you know what I'm saying? And those times too, like, you know, that even that got regulated and became something else, you know, like major labels aren't even who they were in the game anymore. You know, not to say that they don't still have that kind of paper, because these days, you know, they might throw, you know, 20 million, 100 million at a Cash Money, or 10 million at a or 20 million at a the young boy from Chicago, what's his name? He stayed independent. But just say,
you're talking about,
you know,
Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, Chance. You know, saying like, yeah. You know, saying like, you know, like, you know, I think Apple offered him like 20 million, something like whatever. But just say, like, you know, there's still that high purchase deal out there as far as them buying into your brand. But at the end of the day, there's also, you know, on a regular artist level, you know, like those million-dollar deals are far and few between, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really have to already have an established brand for them to really divulge in you like that. They aren't developing anything, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, it's more about hits as a YouTube or social media, as opposed to someone having a career that they're willing to bank on, you know what I'm saying, and artistry, you know. So, but all of that said, that, you know, it's still for us to define, You know what I'm saying? Like we pick up where we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where you work from. You work from where you are, and you make it better. You know what I'm saying? And that said, like, you know, like it's the variety that's missing. We got to a place where I come from a place where you was dope if you sounded like nobody. We're now in a place where you're dope because you sound just like somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we got to get to the place back where, you know, where the DJ has the opportunity to introduce new music, to be the gatekeeper again. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with having standards in our music. If something isn't good or something is whack, you know, like, yeah, something is for everybody. But we got to start defining ourselves. Everything isn't for everybody, and that's okay.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are things that everybody's going to like, and that's the universal. But at the end of the day, it's okay for you to make your stance with who you're not. And if somebody's reflecting something that you're not, it's okay to be like, yeah, that's not me. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to feeling like you're hating or you can't say something or, you know, you're devaluing, you know, somebody's artistry with your opinion. You know, like, we got to stop that. You know, and we got to stop being so soft-skinned that we get upset when somebody doesn't like us or doesn't like our music. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we are definitely got to get to a place where we can have conversations about who we want to be and what we see and what we feel and where we're trying to go without it being a confrontational thing that you didn't support me, you're my enemy. You know, like, nah, like,
yeah, like
make me support like, you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my whole thing. Like,
I've liked Black Sheep for a long time. If you put out a record, if I'm your real fan and you put out a record and ask me what I thought about it and I didn't like the record, I think you would want to hear that. If I'm a true fan of yours, I'm like, hey, man, I ain't really feeling that one. And then, you know, you can, you know, see your fan base like that. Like, okay, they didn't really like when I tried this. Being a versatile artist, you can try something else. Maybe your fans will like more. But nowadays, it's more like, oh, that shit is trash. And blah, blah. Or if you're just like, I didn't really feel that one, then I'm automatically a hater. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah,
like,
yeah. We got to stop that. Like, that's...
You know, the rapper Saigon has always been one of my favorites, if not my favorite. And me and him have a relationship now. And before, like, you know, he ended up dropping an album for a long time. And he sent me a few tracks to listen to check out because he hasn't dropped none in a while. And he knows I'm a true fan. And I was honest with him. I was like, man, I don't like this song. Like, this isn't you, man. You just seems he was kind of lazy on it. But, and he appreciated that. He didn't think I was hating on him or anything. He wanted that criticism because he wanted the...
Right.
You know, you want to be dope. Like, you know what I mean? So there's something that isn't...
Right, and that's what's up.
You know what I mean? And what you were saying about everybody, like, once something catches on, everybody wants to do that same thing. You know, if, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan got big, then the next Black Sheep album sounded like the Wu-Tang Clan, you guys would have never recovered from that. Everyone would be like, man, you're whack. You're biting them. Like, and you would never recover. Nobody would ever give you another chance because you had to be unique and you had to be dope.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
you real talk. Real talk. You had to be able to stand
so
on your own,
you know,
as an entity.
For the most part, from the 90s, of course, like, there was a couple whack artists like that slipped through the cracks. But for the most part, somebody known, they had some dope shit, you know. Even if they got whack later in their careers or something. But anybody that you know of from the 90s, for the most part, they were dope. And they were unique.
Right.
They didn't sound like nobody else.
And one thing about it, Drez, the alumni that you come from, you know, with Native Tongues, I mean, we got to give our listeners, we have to give the legacy, the lineage that you come from, that you're associated with, it's just due. I mean, shout out to Queen Latifah, De La Soul, Moni Love, you know, Tribe, I mean... You know,
Jungle Brothers, no doubt.
Jungle Brothers. I mean, all of y'all. I mean, and, you know, of course, Pharrell. You know, I'm in Virginia, Hampton Road, 757-202 down VA. And, you know, Pharrell in the documentary, he just gushes over you guys in terms of what you all did in terms of how you helped influence him. You know, and, you know, that time you all came along, you know, you all had that that unique bohemian comedic, you know, sly shit talking, you know, style that really, really, really would help define the culture for years to come. And I mean, this is, you know, we're going from that, you know, era where y'all came into where it was, you know, where gangster rap was really beginning to, you know, find its way. Because people have to understand in terms of hip hop culture from where it started in earnest. And I'm not even going to say, I'll say when it really became kind of, when the music really became to kind of build a little bit, because hip hop culture getting really was not recognized until the 80s. But the culture in terms of the music and the aesthetics go back further than that, when you're dealing, of course, with the Sugar Hill Gang, but before that, DJ Kool Herc, inventor of the two turntable technique, and even going back further with James Brown and the JBs and how he pretty much will lay the foundation with his ad libs and his, you know, even with his rhyme in his song.
No doubt.
The building was already there going back 45, 50 years, and where you all came along years later, you all really helped bridge a style to let it be known. Not everybody had to be a gangster. Not everybody had to be rah-rah, and you could have a certain level of, you know, you could be authentic in your aura in terms of how you chose to express yourself. I think that's why, you know, you have always endured, you know, with so many real heads over the years, man, because one thing about it is you always, like I said, you always had a, it always encompassed your genius of comedy, lyricism, and social commentary. And not many artists can balance all of that in one shot, let alone pull it off in a way that is authentic, entertaining, engaging, you know, and fully representative. You know, it's not like it was forced. It was just an extension of who you were. When you look to where you started from then to now, how did you really, you know, when you knew MCing was what you wanted to do going back some years, did you see this legendary status ahead of you, and what really, really inspired your rhyming to mature and cultivate and ultimately be a monument, you know, of, you know, expression?
That's peace, which is so is real on a lot of levels. And as far as your question, like this is my word. Like from the beginning, for me, I always saw hip hop as exactly that, an extension of who I was. You know, saying like, you know, to be a kid, like, you know, me as a young child is me growing up on my parents' music. My parents didn't grow up on hip hop. There was no hip hop,
right,
you know, that existed. So
right,
there's this, I think in kids just around that era, there's this soul that doesn't reside in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Now as hip hop comes into our lives, like it to me, it was easy I didn't walk with it. It walked with me. You know what I'm saying? Like I was already, I'm from the project. I'm from Astoria Project. I'm from the Bland Project from Queens. And
right,
I was, you know, I was already well known. I was already doing street things. I was, you know, all of the things that a cat would make a record about, I was already entrenched in. You know what I'm saying? So I always felt like that was my given. I don't talk about what I'm wearing, you know, on a record. To me, that was a waste of words. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always going to be who I am. Whenever you see me, you'll always see, you know, who I am. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you some things you might not have known. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I always looked at it. Like it was an opportunity for me to be more than just my givens. You know what I'm saying? So for me to talk about a chain that you might see, or for me to talk about a car you might see, or some clothes you might see, like, you'll see that. I'm not worried about that. Like it was an opportunity to me. Hip hop like spoke so deeply to my core that, you know, like it was an opportunity for me to be witty, to be insightful, to be helpful, to, you know what I'm saying, like, to, I mean, and even to grow. Like, one of the hardest things in life is love, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't know how durable love is, you know what I'm saying, then allow me to help you see it, you know what I'm saying? Like all kinds of things that I was able to kind of be a part of and grow with. And even some of my mistakes, you know, like, in a roundabout way, you know, like, you can learn from some of the things that, you know, I might have to say as far as hip-hop is concerned. And don't get even twisted. None of the things that I'm talking about am I going to take for granted, because I come from a place where hip-hop only came to the community on the weekends at night. You know what I'm saying? So, like that's how we got it when it was young. You know, like, when we literally listened to, you know, Houdini, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. Like we didn't hear them all week, and we damn sure ain't seen them on television. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got hip-hop for, like, 3 or 4 hours on Friday and Saturday, and you can get, you know, some pirate stations maybe on a Sunday, but that was at nighttime, and it might have been from, like, 8 to 12, you know what I'm saying? And then it was done for the week, you know what I'm saying? So, right. So we, you know, like, so you be outside, that's my word, you be outside, you come running in the house at 8 o'clock, you put in a cassette, you press record, and you know you got 40, you know, you get the biggest cassette you can to record, you know, as much time, and you know you got 45 minutes before you need to come back in the house, turn it over, press record again, and go back out. And
everybody has something like that. So, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, man, but that's right, like, what you're just saying right there. We all of us around this, you know, we all grew up and had to deal with that in that era. Some of us are older than others, but when people act like people from our generation get upset at newer cats that we feel like aren't being real hip-hop as what we know it, look, man, that, like, that's just an example of why sometimes we get mad at some of the new shit, because
how much
you're
taking it for granted.
We didn't have the luxury of, I could pick up my phone right now and be like, play Black Sheep and your shit pops up, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know, we came from there, like, if you liked the song, you would try to find out when that song was going to be played. You sit beside the radio just waiting to press record, and, like, that's how much we loved that shit, like, where we had to work for ours, like, just to hear shit we liked. So it means a lot to us, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I didn't mean to cut you off, I just...
it's all good. That's the sentiment, exactly.
It might have been different, you know, depending on where you're at, but we all... we can all tell a story like that, and that's so
without
fucking
question.
Dope. You know, that's so dope.
Yeah, right. To say that, you know, all right, so that show that night, and maybe the show the next night, that's when you brought your box out. Now you're bringing the box out because you got two tapes from Friday and Saturday, and that's what you're playing on when you walking down the street with your box. You know what I'm saying? You playing the music from the weekend, and that was our music for the week. So we studied those two tapes. You know what I'm saying? Like that was our hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Until next week's show, and, you know, and a DJ was so important because whatever he chose to play, that's what we was listening to for the next 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Or a week or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, we all became these you know, connoisseurs of our tapes. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And it was real. So you hit it in the right on the head when we looking at a cat that takes for granted that, you know, yeah, like, you know, the things that are right at your fingertips, you can literally speak into your phone, play new hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as an artist, man, like, think about what you had to go through to do a song with somebody. You know what I mean? Like,
man,
you had to figure out a way for you guys to meet somewhere in a studio, make this song. Like,
yeah, you had to meet
them,
and you had to hope that you could impress upon them that they should do this. You know, like, if you ain't have paper, they had to dig you enough to want to do a song with you.
Yeah, Yeah, and then there's record label bullshit and all that. Like, so, like, you did a song with somebody, it meant something because you had to put some effort into to do it, to getting in a position to do a record with that person. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't as easy as me cash-apping you a few dollars and sending you a link to a beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
So back then, like,
right.
You know, if you wanted to do a record with somebody, like, it took a lot of work to get that done. So, like, that's why we hear so many dope collabs from back in those days, because, like, man, I had to, you know, I had to drive in a car 6 hours to meet at this fucking place to do this, and you know what I mean? So it's like you made it worth your time and your effort. You know what I mean? Nowadays,
no doubt.
Get a verse out of somebody in a heartbeat, you know? Like,
definitely.
Yeah,
you know,
I
think
granted back then, because just like y'all said about collabs had to be built based off mutual respect. And not to mention, studio time was a bitch back then with the prices.
Man,
like, so
shit.
a two-inch
reel alone was like $200, $250.
There's politics involved, too. Like, there might be some bullshit rivalry between somebody at the two record labels. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, man, I ain't giving this.
All kinds of stuff.
I ain't hearing this record for that motherfucker. He's over at Sony. I'm at Jive. Like, we have some kind of problem. Like, you know what I mean? There could be politics involved, too. You know what I mean? So like,
right, but to say that, but none of that was going to stop it from evolving. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and evolve it did. You know what I'm
saying?
Like, it kept pushing forward. You know what I'm saying? And so,
brings
into
like
case.
The hard work you guys put in, and a lot of artists back then were getting fucked, too. You know what I mean? A lot of people got screwed
over. I mean,
that's
the music industry.
So
the era before that one, too, shit.
A lot of these guys be in the positions they're at now. They don't even know
that.
Look
up.
How many people had to, Two Live Crew had to go to court. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, NWA get arrested for playing songs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot going on back then, and a lot of people got screwed out of money. You think all these dudes have money when you see them on TV? A lot of them didn't get shit. You know what I mean?
Real
like
talk, bro.
Of,
that's
nowadays, hell, if you're a hard artist and you're consistent, they might offer you to run that business with them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of rappers got put in great positions now because of all the struggles artists went through back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the knowledge that they acquired. Real talk. One of the things I definitely want to piggyback off what we're talking about, though, is ageism in hip hop. And I want to say this. I don't dig it. You know what I'm saying? I really don't dig it to the degree that I want to school the younger generation in front of me. Like, one of the things that was real important to, especially cats in my era, was to respect the cats that came in front of us. And it was a simple theory that, you know what I'm saying, like, we understood. Without them, we wouldn't be having this opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we saw, you know, that you know, like, there's always a changing of a guard and this, that, and the other, and the culture's always advancing, and there's always going to be a younger warrior. So that being said, I want to impress this. Like, people's attention spans are really short these days. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I hate when I hear a younger cat say, you know, like, I really don't mess with them older cats. Or I really don't mess with the mold of kind of beats or this and the other. Like it's unfortunate when I hear things like that, when the thought pattern should be quite the opposite. The thought pattern should be, yo, let me introduce y'all to my influences. Let me introduce y'all to the cats that me want to do what I do. Let me make sure that my influences that they're okay. Let me rock a song with them. Let me put them on something. Let me have them open for me when I'm in their town. Let me, you know, invite them out or whatever. Because what that does is that sets the precedent that in this quick, you know, this where everybody's turnover is so quick that in 5, 7, maybe 10 years, if you're lucky and you're the older artist, you've set a precedent that the younger artists can follow. And they're inclusive. They're not looking at you as, yeah, I don't really mess with them older cats. They decide, you know, like, everybody's acting like they invented something when they're just an extension of something. You know what I'm saying? And to be inclusive is to not be divided. It's to not be conquered. It's to not. It's for all of us to stand together. It's for us to be on code. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, I hope the cats that hear me, the younger artists, like I want to know why you dope, if you're dope. So who helped you? You know, who did you see that made you know? And that person that you looked at, make sure that they okay. Make sure that, you know, all of your influences are a part of your story. You know what I'm saying? And that y'all move together. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you're going to want if God blesses you with the opportunity to become an older artist. You know?
You know, Drez, that's deep because we talk so much on the show about that so much. Because when we look at rock and roll, when we look at classical music, there is such reverence, such respect for the legend. And King and Pat will tell you, this is something I've always had an issue with, that hip-hop culture always seems to be the only one that is intent on pushing the legends out. And I guess you could look at it from a trajectory in the psychology of how a lot of these younger artists have come into the game. You all came at a time where, in terms of what it meant to be, you know, a lot of these youngins don't know. We've had so many legends on the show that have shared this sentiment as well. You know, youngins didn't really know nothing about in terms of actually having to step up in a record label office and do an audition, you know, in terms of the footwork, you know, networking with a lot of these DJs and just being around the hoods and really just getting, you know, social media was not then what it is now. I mean, we came up all the time where social media was non-existent. So it was literally right. Word of mouth in terms of your niceness. So what we're seeing now, and this is just, you know, my view, which is not the absolute or the, you know, definition, is that where you have social media, as you said, about how everything is such a microwave society, you know, everything has been processed. It is so accelerated as opposed to being aged in terms of where it actually is the right time. It's rushing out before it's matured, before it's culture. So now you have a lot of these younger artists with YouTube, with Instagram and Twitter, which we love because it helps us to meet people like yourself. But what's happened is they have taken that perspective from that express lane to fame where they feel like they have already validated their success by a certain pseudo-celebrity that has already been known. And see, a lot of these youngins today don't understand. There's a difference between being famous and infamous. Just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean it's for the right reason.
Right.
You know, and
another thing that,
go ahead,
what you're saying, not to interrupt you, but one of the things that goes so in the vein of what you're saying is they've mistaken likes and views for sincerity. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and honestly, this is my word. I wish we could take likes off of YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like or views. You know, so I wish we could take that off of YouTube and, you know, that we didn't know it had 5 billion views, whatever, because that's become their credit card for validation. And at the end of the day, like, you know, like, we don't need to know that. Like, if you're on something, it should be because you like it. If you go back to something, it should be because you want it, because it stuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Not because 5 million people viewed it in 7 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like we've gotten so caught up in, you know, in the aesthetics that sometimes we step away from what it is and find ourselves being inundated with things that we'll start repeating only because we've been inundated with it. Not even because we like it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like and that goes in exactly in the vein of what you're saying. Like, you know, like, yo, like, you know, like, that's that instant gratification aspect of it will not, you know, like that's why they crash so hard, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when they go from a place, you know, of 10 billion people liking it to, you know, 1,000 people, you know, liking it, you know what I'm saying? Like, they think something's wrong with them, you know what I'm saying? Or something's wrong with you, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like that's...
Yeah, man. It really is. It really is. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't make you who you are. Neither one. Neither one makes you who you are. You know what I'm saying? And those are the artists. You know, the cats that walk in that.
Try to just say some crazy shit. Like, they'll say something crazy just to get their name buzzing. And they'll try to capitalize off of that. But in the end, it never works out for those guys, man. You know what I mean? If I'm a new rapper, and I go on a radio show and play a song or a podcast, and I clearly have like a Biggie influence to my flow, and you know the host of the show says, "Hey man, it sounds like you was influenced by Biggie. Where are you now? What do you think is gonna get me more attention? If I say, yeah, I definitely was, man. He's one of my favorite rappers." Or if I say, oh, I'm way better than Biggie, they'll say that, like, just to get, like, that, you know, them 3 days.
Yeah, the shock value of,
everyone's like, man,
you know,
you're trash for three, but it gets 10 million views.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think that they did something. They think that they created,
right.
Oh, look, man, I said that shit and got 10 million views. But, like,
right.
They think that's, like, a career choice. Like, that's a path you take, is to say something crazy. And I'm not saying just that, but just, you know, just making
yeah,
nah, any
nah,
kind
nah.
of
but you're hitting it right on the head. You're hitting it right
be
on the
headline,
head.
Because you know what I mean?
In their head, they feel like, you know, like, until I made that right move right there, you know what I'm saying, I was just regular Joe. But when I made that move, you know what I'm saying, like,
mm-hmm.
that catapulted me or whatever, you know, so they're looking
right.
for the next move, you know what I'm saying. And you know, that's when it's away from the artistry. You know what I'm saying? And to a degree, a lot of it is away from the artistry. A lot of it is buying into the brand. A lot of it is you seeing me on the toilet while I'm playing, you know, Pac-Man or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of the things that have nothing to do with the music you're releasing, it's become that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, imagine if it was that and dope. You know what I'm saying? Like you know... Like, you know, all right, cool, you're buying into the brand. I can get it. But, like, let your brand be something that stands, you know, just strong. You know what I'm saying? Just something that we could stand next to and be proud of. You know what I'm saying? Something that we can introduce not only to our child but to our parent. You know what I'm saying? Something that we can introduce to our girl and to you know, and to my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, something that's for us. This is for us. You know what I'm saying? And we don't get a lot of that, you know.
You know,
look,
you know, Drez, when we look at that time where you all came, because when you're talking about how there was just, you know, the artistry is so important, not only to what the native use, the collective native tongues, but think about all the artists that were coming out during that time. You know, shout out to YG, you know, dropping his album,
oh, no doubt.
You know, the ghetto's been good to me. I mean, of course. You know, you got to shout out to Hieroglyphics, you know, Delta Funky Homo Sapien, you know, Homo Sapien.
Yes.
I mean, you know, of course, you know, E-40 was beginning to come around during that time.
Yes, sir.
Just what was that creative energy like in the 90s where you all were just exploring all these possibilities? And, you know, and we always try to talk about the nuances because a lot of these videos nowadays, you know, just seem to be nothing more than just, you know, kind of forced collaborations. They, you know, like, you know, Pat and King were saying, you know, when you, back in the day, when y'all had collaborations, it was like you had to go through some hurdles. What was it like, you know, for like, you know, a Buddy video or, you know, The Choice Is Yours with, you know, or Strobe Light Honey, where, of course, they had a young Tichina Arnold in there for those that don't know the hip-hop trivia, you know, what was that like in terms of just the concept coming together, marketing, and just you all coming together and just really, really doing things and just allowing, you know, that just to just come?
Right. Well, it was a little different time, and to say that there was this thing that, you know, it was probably like around the end of artist development, you know, where the label
gotcha.
would kind of get behind your vision, you know what I'm saying? Like if you was able to kind of, if you could help them to see it, you know, it was something that they would help you develop, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so at that time, I think, you know, we was kind of able to convey, like, you know, look, you know, we're a part of this collective, the natives, and, you know, it's important that we are afforded the space to develop our own walk, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, them, you know, like we was able to sell it with, all right, they say they know who the Native Tongues is, and they want to be affiliated with, you know, they want to have a group that's affiliated. So in order to have a group that's affiliated, they have to see the vision. They have to help us, you know what I'm saying, move it forward. So, you know, we was able to kind of bridge, you know, like we're one of the groups, in my opinion, that was very essential. We might not have reaped some of the benefits of our energy, but we're one of the reasons that hip-hop hit middle America, that we, you know, we went into the crib in Nebraska, you know what I'm saying? We bought like a real raw New York version of something that was positive and something that was creative, original, and reflective of what it was to Oklahoma, to Idaho, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't there, you know, prior, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Curtis Blow might not have got into their crib, you know what I'm saying? But we did. You know what I'm saying? So there was cats that was coming behind us that had a price tag on it. You know what I'm saying? We were just glad to get in there, you know, and we might have gotten there via, you know what I'm saying, we were the first group on the Tonight Show. We were the, you know, like we were on in Living Color a few times. We're on BET. Yeah. Like we're on television things that, you know, like we were on performance pieces that were bringing real hip-hop to you. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
You know, prior to that, you know what I'm saying, you wasn't getting very many opportunities to hit America, you know what I'm saying, period. You know what I'm saying, you might be able to do some regional stuff and this and the other, but to get on something that was going across the country into people's houses and able to be something that was palatable to everyone was important, you know what I'm saying, and some of those initial groups might not have reaped the benefits. You know, like I remember when I did that wasn't Tonight Show, but what's my man's name? Semi's name? I'm fucking getting old for real.
It's okay. No, what was the year and then channel, a time period? Because you had a lot of those guys.
The Tonight Show, the brother that had Eddie Murphy's man.
Arsenio?
Yeah, I couldn't think of Arsenio's damn name. God damn.
Arsenio.
We got
and
you.
I had
back.
Just
Drew,
said it.
We got you.
Yeah, right. right. That's what's up. But just to say, so, like, I remember doing Arsenio, right? And, like, cats, you know, my mom, hit me, like, you know, like, yo, I just seen you Arsenio. Like, you know, like, so you good now, this, that, and the other, you know, like, and I had to explain to my mom, like, yo, mom, like, an appearance on Arsenio, I made $300. You know what I'm saying? She's like, what? And I'm like, you know, don't get it twisted. Like, I'm hoping, I'm hoping at this point that it pans out in sales and just me getting shows and, you know, this and the other. But my appearance on Arsenio made me $300. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, the perception, you know, and it might be different now, you know, for a television appearance. I have, you know, like, as far as, you know, something that's, you know, viewed in millions of homes. But at that moment in time, that's all it was worth to me as far as that moment in time. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't do it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't advance you as an artist. You definitely reap benefits. You're promoting, you know. You know, now, you know, your sales do go up. Your shows do jump up. But, you know, that doesn't mean you've made it. So, you know, a lot of times the perception is that if you see somebody doing certain things that they've established something, and it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, that still is, you know, I'm still built. That's building. And, you know, you hope it pans out. You hope that leads people to like what they're seeing and to translate the sales or to shows or the merch, but it doesn't always happen, and it's all a process, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like you learn real early that, you know, don't get caught up in the semantics. Do the work, just keep getting better. Do the work, keep getting better, and keep your finger on the street, you know what I'm saying? Keep your finger
to what's dope, and don't let other people define what's dope to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, like, I remember, what's his name? What's his dude? All Gold Everything came out. And
oh, Trinidad James.
Yeah. This is my word. Like, I remember he came out, and this is my word. Like, I don't know, kid. There's none of the above. And I'm not trying to, you know, belittle any, you know, my opinion is my opinion. But I'm definitely one that will voice it. And so he comes out, and I got a crew. I'm in Harlem, literally in Harlem. And there's a crew of cats my age trying to tell me how dope this record is. And I'm looking at them all like, you know, like, yo, like, you know, this is my word. Like, you know, I don't know this kid is that together, but if y'all get away from me with this, like, you know, y'all sound crazy. Like, y'all sound insane. Like, are y'all serious right now? And they, you know, and of course, you know, they were serious, and it was a big record for Kid and this and the other. But at the end of the day, like, maybe a month or two later, he was overseas, and they had him do a spit of freestyle at the radio station. They filmed it. And this is my word. Like, I've never heard a worse rhyme in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I made sure everybody that was trying to push this kid on me, like, I was like, yo, this is what you're supporting. You know what I'm saying? This and the other. And that's to say that, you know, like, and that's not to shit on dude or nothing like that. I hope he's a much better artist. I hope that he took it the right way and got better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it always will be what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo.
Dredd,
I got to say this too while it's on my mind. I got to say this too while it's on my mind, because this is something that when you said Trinidad, because there were so many points I wanted to hit on. First off, we got to shout out Arsenio Hall, because Arsenio put on so many
cats.
Artists. I mean, yeah, shout out, you know, I mean, for the Eric Gales band. I mean, when he did the Ice-T interview, you know, of course, you know, when he put
a lot of things on the show. Right.
Yeah,
a lot of things advance the culture, man. And you might not notice it then, but when you get step back and look at it, you're like, wow. Like, if it hadn't been for that, you know, for these things right here, we wouldn't have moved forward.
And
I mean, sometimes as fans, you don't even realize certain things. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, like, comedians that I like today, and they're huge. I might have just saw them on just some random show one time, and then I saw them again somewhere else. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this dude from that other show. And then, like, next thing you know, it's like 5 years later, he's a well-known dude, and you're like, oh, yeah, I heard him through this show. Like, you have to do music and comics all the time. Like,
so
I might not
funny?
Even really be paying attention to Arsenio, and I'm watching it and see someone on that.
And peeping the next
two
generation.
2 weeks later,
right.
They're on another show. I'm like, wait, I think they was on Arsenio, too. I hear the song again.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, a couple years later, they're huge.
Right.
And you're a big fan.
Yo.
You know, just, oh, yeah, I know him from
this
place. You know what I mean?
Peep this. When I was writing rhymes for the first album, I would go to this park in New York called Washington Square Park. And it's a park downtown Manhattan. Like, a lot of neighbors, we would meet there a lot of times. So I'd be in this park a lot writing rhymes. Now, in this park, it was like a real bohemian type park. You know what I'm saying? A lot of hippie types and dreads. Like, just a lot of free love type, you know, type shit. Anyway, this comedian would come through, and he would kill him. Like, he would have damn near have to park around him, you know what I'm saying, and just be hilarious. You know, at the end of his show, he put a hat out and cat stormed out. He make good money. Anyway, his name was Charlie Barnett. He started bringing this cat, this young kid, to open for him, you know, to help him, you know, like the kid was funny, this, that, and the other. And together, they would kill in the park. But Charlie Barnett was the headliner, and he brought this kid to kind of open up for him. That kid was Dave Chappelle.
Damn. Yo,
you know what I'm saying?
You know what,
so you hitting the right on the head. You know what I'm saying?
Dave,
like, you hitting the
Dave just told that shit.
Yeah, well, this is my word. I used to be sitting in that
he
park right around.
He was just saying something about
that. Over. Yeah, that's crazy.
I think Dave, not Unforgiven, because he tells a story on there about, like, this comedian that was a club owner in D.C., heard him tell a joke, liked it, was like, yo, can I borrow that joke? And then he just kept telling the joke. Dave was so young, he's like, yeah, go ahead and borrow the joke. And dude just kept telling the joke. So when Dave asked him about it, dude was just like, man, fuck you, it's my joke. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, I heard another comedian tell that story about Dave. Well, then they I'm pretty sure they started talking about how he was going to Washington Square Park.
All right. Yeah, no, no. That's my word. Like,
was doing,
yeah,
doing
like
shit
I,
there. Yeah.
That's my word. I literally was right in a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you know what I'm saying? I would see him like back then, you know what I'm saying? But you never know who someone's going to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yo,
you know, one thing about it, too,
I just
when
you're
talking
to
about.
Okay. I have to do this. I've interviewed a lot of Queens legends, and so, like, this is great. Like, this is like bucket list type shit, getting an opportunity to talk to you. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Oh, so
I have to do this to you, though, man. I need your top five Queens all time.
Oh, all right. She's Queens. I love Queens, man. I'm definitely a Queens kid. I'm gonna put LL. I'm in no particular order, but LL.
Okay.
That I
Farmers,
feel like honestly,
Farmers.
Like L. Yeah, like L comes from like and I'm talking early L. Like early L to me, like he had this bravado that like if you look at like. I'm talking about Crush Groove L. Look at Crush Groove.
Oh, Lord.
L. right, exactly. Like, that was a dangerous man right there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the L that I'm talking about. And not that he's not dangerous now, but just for him to be all of that, and I think he was 16, 17, and he was, you know, like, he stepped into it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go with Nas here. You know, Nas is a beast. I wish I could pick Nas's beats sometimes, but you know, say I love the lyricist he is.
Okay. Do you agree with that sentiment that Nas is a good beat picker?
Yeah, I wish I could pick his beats, man. That's my word. Like a lot of times I feel like he would pick
it's
beats.
It's okay, Dunn, because it's like a lot of people said the same thing about Nas over his. We all love Nas. We recognize his legend.
Mm-hmm.
That always has been a criticism that people have given Nas, that his ear for beat is not always the best.
Yeah, not like this. My word, like ooh, like I wish I could. I wish I could pick an EP of beats for him, and I wish I could pick an EP of beats for Eminem. Both of them would like cause this. Is my word, because M is dope, but you know M is rhyming over shit none of us care for. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I always told you the only Eminem albums that I really liked was the Eminem Show. Like, he was more serious. He was more focused on making, like, a hip-hop record. Like, you know, it wasn't the content wasn't, I'm eating mushrooms and shit and beating up old ladies.
Right,
exactly. Like, you know what I mean? He wasn't trying to do
that
shit
anymore.
And he was doing serious shit. But then after that,
to me, it's an album that he has that he hasn't given us. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got this album, like he needs to either grab Primo or Pete Rock, or, you know what I'm saying? Like he needs to sit down with, know who he needs? He needs to, Eminem should sit down with Large Professor. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
And
oh, my God.
A project.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he needs.
Ooh,
that's what he needs.
Need
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how crazy would that be? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
word. Like
I
that's
agree
what he
with
needs.
You.
And that's how
be
and
so much
that's how I hear him.
If he had better music, like, but like
right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right, real
like,
talk.
He just had
real
more
talk.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't hate Eminem at all. I think he's one of the most.
Yeah. Same here.
Like,
I
believe that.
I get both sides.
The catalog just don't stack to me.
Right, exactly. Like I get both sides. Like you know, like lyrically, kid is exceptional. But do I play any of his shit? Nah, no, I don't. You know what I'm saying? Like it is what it is. You know. But other than Renegade, I might play Renegade.
But M ain't in it.
We got Nas. I'm gonna go with Nature. Word up! I love Nature.
Right.
As MC, I think Nature's beastly with it. Let's see, who else we gonna go with? Cormega's though, but I got Nature. I'm gonna run with Nature from that crew right now.
Okay.
Who am I thinking of?
You're missing someone obvious.
G-Rap. Oh, G-Rap, my God, yes. My God, I'm missing G-Rap. And that's right in there, Corona and the hearse. And this is my word, like, yeah, he grew up, like, in a neighborhood next to mine. Like, and he's such an influence to everyone, man.
Yes, the guy, the mafioso. Cool.
Yeah,
oh my God. My favorite MC of all time.
Yo, it's like Ill Street Blues. Ill Street Blues is just like, oh my God.
I mean, the nigga had the line. Really good. He's like, you know the evil the men do. Hell is where the men go. We snatched him by his ass and feet and threw him out the window. Up
the window.
Up in the way, because out of plague, clown. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Blah,
blah,
that was two on the way
down. Two on the way down. Yo, yo, like, G-Rap is. Oof. Yo,
and
yo,
he's still
G-Rap
doing
is,
it, man. You still don't.
So to the next week, that's Caesar. Again, then your pleasers only getting you closer to meeting Jesus. Because, yeah,
yeah,
I shake
Jesus
a schmuck just to make a buck and to break a duck. And if the duck got to get bucked, then I don't give a fuck. Hyper as
a
sniper, piper niggas like a plumber. Yo, just, yo. G-Rap is.
We need one more from you then, because G-Rap's in.
And we need one more. Let me see. You know what? I'm going to tread lightly. And slide right over to my brother Fife Dawg. God bless him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Word up.
Again, you know, rest in power.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just from the soul. Word up. Fife was an
great,
important person to me in my life. Fife was one of the cats that showed me, you know, like I'm a projects kid, like quintessential, and a lot of the things that I probably could speak to, I don't, and a lot of things I could have became, I'm glad I didn't, but Fife was he's a kid that introduced me to a moral compass, you know what I'm saying, I remember one night, it was probably around 3 or 4 in the morning, we was all coming from the club, Powerhouse, now we kids, you know what I'm saying, we all hanging out, and this is, they probably working on their first album, and we getting on the train, and there's probably about 15 of us. And so when we get to the train station, we all jump in the turnstile, and Fife wouldn't jump the turnstile, and I'm like, you know, like, come on, man, you better come on, you about to get left, and Fife went and paid, got a token, and put his token in, and he came across, and I'm looking at him when I was looking at him, like everybody else that went down to the train, I'm looking at him, I'm like, you know, like I know he wasn't afraid, he just looked at 14, 15, 16 of us jump the turnstile. And nothing happened. I know he wasn't afraid, but Fife just had a moral compass. He was a cat that would do what was right just because he should do what was right. You know what I'm saying? And it would be years before I understood how important that was. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like I always dug him as an MC. I saw him grow as an MC, and I saw myself grow as a person because of our relationship. You know.
Yeah, rest in peace to Fife Dawg.
Big time.
No
rest
doubt.
In peace, Fife.
Now, do you think that any of those five people you named are better than Trinidad James?
Like, I'd have to weigh that one. I'm not sure. But next time I do an interview with y'all, I'm going to have the answer.
Well, that's why
and
I
that's
said
not
the top five
and
queens,
that's just
my
word.
I knew
and
if I expanded it, like, we already knew Trinidad James is number one. And you know what I mean?
And
that's
my word. And I hope he works his ass off.
By the way.
Yo, but this is my word. I hope he works his ass off, and because it's possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like cats don't gotta stay where they are. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what life is about. And the unfortunate thing, and I'm gonna say this, at, you know, in closing, kind of like it's unfortunate when we don't give each other the opportunity to be better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we should always give each other the opportunity to be better. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, just because somebody falls on their face today or is not what they should be today doesn't mean that's who they're going to be. You know what I'm saying?
That's
Let's
true.
Give each other the opportunity the same way that we want the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be times when we fall, when we're not who we're supposed to be. We want the opportunity to be better. You know?
Now, Driz, we got to ask you this question, too. How many artists at times are prepared in your mind? Because what you spoke about Trinidad, because this is also, we want to get this into you as well. How many times do we see artists nowadays who are really prepared for the fame and fortune, and like you said, keeping that moral compass? And because, you know, we've seen a lot of artists burn out in the spotlight. I know a couple years ago, you know, And Lil Uzi Vert went and did some crazy shit with the diamond, but that's a different story for a different day. But I mean, when he was,
yeah,
when he was talking
happened.
About, yeah, but he was talking about how, you know, a couple of years ago he was like just so fed up with the business. It's like, fuck this, I can't do it no more, and everything else. How many times do you think these some of these artists coming in are psychologically prepared for the rigors and for the discipline that is necessary to survive in this? Because you were so humble and so honest about saying how much you got for doing the Arsenio Hall show. But I know you all went through some things back in the day with the business. What do these kids need to understand coming into the business today about what you have to be on your P's and Q's with and how it can take you through some things?
To be honest, it's something there's no preparatory, unless you grow up in a family, I think, that is like a showbiz family, you're not going to be prepared for what it is. And it could be a violation of a lot of things, but more than anything, I think people always have to keep it in perspective and to say that, you know, there's times when you have to punch out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't stay on the clock. As far as when you go to work, you know, eventually you punch out. And the same is true for the music industry. You know, like to stay grounded and to keep people around you that won't let you fly away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's important that you keep people around you that know you before you start believing what people believe you are. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
you know, because there comes a point where everybody thinks you're this and you start believing you're this. And the people that know who you are, you don't want them around you because they know you're not that, you know, and you can't fall victim to that. You know what I'm saying? You stay grounded and you work hard, you know, but you keep it in perspective. There's people, you know, imagine who you would be without it. And if you're cool with that, then, you know, then step away. But if you're not cool with that, if you realize, oh, shit, I've been given an opportunity to do something that I've only dreamed about and I need to manage it, you know, like once you have that perspective and you lead with that, then you start being able to identify the things that are going to keep you grounded and identify the things that are going to float you away. And you'll start making better decisions. You know, it's okay to partake in a little bit of everything, but do everything in moderation. You know what I'm saying? And don't allow yourself to not see yourself as you are walking in the door. You know what I'm saying? Always see yourself. Always see who walked in the door. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't get it twisted. You're gonna grow and you'll become. You definitely will evolve and. All of the above, but always remember who walked into the door. You know what I'm saying? And that'll help you because that'll show you where you're trying to go. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people lose vision of where they were trying to go and they just buy into this moment in time and they don't want this moment in time to ever end. And of course it ends. And now you're struggling to, you know, it's almost like, you know, like a crackhead's first hit. You know what I'm saying? Like you're struggling to get that first hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you just smoke weed, you'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, just smoke weed and you'll be okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can be managed, but you know, but you got to step back sometimes. You know, like you can't be that person all of your life. And be happy, you know, because this is my word. I know some of the cats, you know, that we all know as far as artists. And I wouldn't trade with them for nothing in the world. Like I don't care about having $100 million if I'm just empty inside and nothing around me is real and all of my relationships are transactional and everything I have has to be paid for and kept up and. You know, like I'm always questioning, you know, the reality of my reality. Like later for that shit, man. Like work hard, be happy. You know, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, and
you know, like, I like going to a supermarket and scratching my ass and not being on TMZ. Like, I know what that's worth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
You know, some people are cool
and
with
I feel
it.
Like, I feel like the type of music that you do, it reaches who it needs to reach. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
I'm sure, I don't know, obviously I don't know the feeling, but, I mean, you know, like we said, everybody got a short attention span. There's people that are here 1 minute, gone the next. Like, if you just consistently sell the same amount every single time, at least you know that you got those people rocking with you. All those
yeah,
people
man,
know
this...
your shit. They're actual real fans. If you sell a million today,
I feel like one
you
of
make
those most...
one false move, everybody just abandons you and on to the next
right.
move.
Real talk.
And you never you didn't have that intimate with your fan base. You were just used to seeing, you know, stadium full of people. You know what I mean? But I'd rather have that 30-year career where I make enough money to live on.
Right.
And
right.
I know,
you know
that my music's reaching the people that it needs to reach, and you know my fans are real fans. You know, if I put out a record
this is my word.
They don't like, they're still coming back next time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no doubt. That's real. That's real. Like,
you know,
I
feel that that's a better way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just my word, bro.
Platinum the first time and then they disappear. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right. You know, I feel the same way. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm one of the luckiest people in the music industry. Like, I've literally been Black Sheep Prez longer than I haven't been. And, you know, I get to go around the world and do shows and, you know, and yeah, you're right. I put out music and under my own label. I have my own label called Pool of Genius. You know, you can check me out at poolofgenius.com and check out some of the solo projects I've dropped, videos, merch, all kinds of stuff. Poolofgenius.com, you know what I'm saying? And just to say, like, you know, like all of that stuff I own, you know what I'm saying? And it might not be on the platforms that the first album might have saw, but you're right. You know, I have people globally that rock with me, and it's afforded me to be me for a lot of years now, and I'm very grateful. Word, and like I said, man, I'm one of the most fortunate cats in the world, in my opinion, because like I said, I know the various ways it could have played out, you know. So I'm very.
You got 2021. You got an album with Jay Dilla. That's the illest shit in the world, man. You know what I mean?
Real talk.
That's the dopest shit ever. You know what I mean? Like when I saw that, I was just like, damn, man. Like that's one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time, man. Like, so for real, congratulations on that. Because like you're a true hip hop cat. Any true hip hop cat knows what Jay Dilla means. You know. Like I said, as a fan of both of you, like. You know, I already knew the level of seriousness that you would approach it in. And you said it tonight, and, like, it's just, like, of course you would do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we got somebody that's going to care about this project and not just rap over it. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, that was great as a Jay Dilla fan. Because once somebody passes away, you never know what's going to happen with any music that comes out. You know what I mean? Like somebody could just try to put, like, the most popular guy on the beat and stuff. You know what I mean? So, like,
for them to
give this record to you, man, like, that's crazy,
though. That was peace,
I think they
that
did that
rough.
Because they knew the level of care you would have for it. You know what I'm saying?
That's peace.
Andres, we got to speak on what you said, too, about... Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, but we got to speak on your career, too, because, like you said, I got the Source magazine. I got to dig through it. But I remember that quote you said years ago. You said you were blessed that you haven't had a job since 1990, and you've been able to do this and make a great living doing it. You know?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, like, it's I never saw that in 1989, 1990. Like I had no idea, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know how it was gonna play out. You know, I hoped we would do well, but you know, even with the initial successes, you know, it's another thing to be here, you know, 28, 29 years later, you know what I'm saying, and talk about a new project and you know, shit, I leave, you know, I got a show in Boca Raton on Monday, you know what I'm saying? Like you know,
okay.
like it's
okay.
just Florida. But you know, like yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, like just to say, like, you know, but I be all over the world. I'm rocking with De La. You know, I mean, whatever. Like it's just been such a beautiful ride for me, you know what I'm saying? And don't get twisted. It's had its struggles and it's had its, you know, definitely moments of self-reflection and all the above. But it's been really cool, though. You know, for real, for real. Yo, fellas, this is my word. My wife is looking at me like, it is Valentine's Day, and if you don't get to
that. Let me just get this out real quick, and I'll let everybody else rock out. But, bro, man, I haven't been on the radio in a while, man. And, you know, I came back on tonight. I didn't even know you were going to be on the show until, like, 10 minutes beforehand. But I've done hundreds of interviews with a lot of legends. And I just want to say, man, like, this is one of the dopest interviews I've done. Like, it's couldn't have been a better night to come back on. And, like, bro, for real, man, like, thanks a lot. Like, you gave us a great interview,
man.
A lot of people come on
interviews.
What's
up, man. Love is love.
They don't care about it or nothing. Man,
nah,
I'm not taking no notes or nothing, man.
Like,
we had some of the
best conversations. I feel like I'm just talking to
you. Gave us a lot of
y'all
good
are literally
content,
as.
You know, I appreciate that, man, for real.
I appreciate y'all as well, man. Like, I felt like I was talking to some friends of mine that know the music, that know, you know, that know life. You know what I'm saying? It was an easy conversation, and, you know, I appreciate y'all as well, man. I hope I get to come back when the record comes out.
Yeah, dude, every time you were on the show, I was like, yo, man, let me on, man. I fuck with dude. Like,
all right.
Dope, man. You guys are great.
We enjoyed this interview.
Thank you, guys. Like, Eric, for real, thanks for letting me come on tonight, too. Well,
all right. Cecilia, man, y'all have a good one, man. Much love to Off the
you
Cuff.
You too. Look, you know, whenever
you
want to come back on, just let us know. You're always welcome
we'll do.
Back. Yes,
my
sir.
My dudes. Love
congrats,
is love.
Congrats,
yes, sir. On that note, we out of here. Salute y'all. Catch y'all this Friday night. We got Big Hutch from Above the Law in the building. Another big show. Pull up.
And we out.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.